Hello, this is Lisa Russick and Jennifer Love with the podcast We Are All Psychic. Hey, Jennifer, how you doing today?
I'm good, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. And do you think we're all psychic?
Of course we're all psychic.
So we, of course, are all psychic. And listeners, this is an audio-only podcast. We are starting a new series with Jennifer Love called Love Healers. So what we're doing with Love Healers is I'm going to ask Jennifer for advice about issues that I've had in love and relationships, and she's going to give me advice. And then next thing that's very exciting is that you listeners can write us at our emails or in the Q&A, which I will put up with the podcast on Spotify, or you can send us a recording of any questions you might want to ask us, especially Jennifer, about love and relationships that you or issues you're working through, anything that you want help with. We want to hear about it. So I'm going to be real raw and honest in this podcast with Jennifer Love and ask her some stuff. And the thing is with love and relationships, it takes a while to heal certain patterns, issues, stuff like that. And Jennifer Love, I want to tell you that over the last 3-4 years I've known you, you have helped me with my love life almost every day. I think of something you said. I think of something I've learned from you, or I'm sitting there talking to you. So thank you. And I'm glad you're going to help me with this.
And it's definitely not a one and done process. We're all constantly learning and growing, and myself included. So it's not that I don't put myself out there as like a guru or, anything, but it's just I'm a teacher and these are some things that I've learned. And so I just try to help people with some of the things that I've learned.
And you've helped me, and I know you've helped listeners with your love series. So this will be a new one we're doing. And first of all, I want to let you know our emails. I will put our emails in the description of the podcast as well. My email is Lisa, L-I-S-A, at weareallpsychic.com. And you don't put an apostrophe. Weird, because the internet doesn't do that. And Jennifer?
I'm Jennifer at thejenniferlove.com. There's two N's in Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer at thejenniferlove.com and Lisa at Lisa, we're all psychic. So we want to hear from you really badly because we love you.
Yeah, any little question, any big question, any taboo question.
Yes,
It's all good.
It's all good. So we're going to start out. Jennifer and I talked a little bit about what I've been going through in the before the podcast, and she's well aware of my love life situations because I go to Jennifer Love a lot for help with my love relationships. And if you've been listening to the podcast, I've been through a lot of different ones, situations for love, and especially in the last few years. Now, listeners who don't know, I have been married twice. I divorced my second husband in 2021 in August. We split. And then I started dating a man. Before that, when I was younger, I had long-term relationships. I always had, a year or 2 years. When you're 22, that's a long time, And then the marriage was at 26, and that divorce was at 32. My second husband, I married at 35, I think. And then we divorced when I was 46. So, or 47, 46. So we were married 11 years. And then I dated a very good friend, and that has not worked out. And it was something that Jennifer helped me through a lot of things with, and as well as a lot of other friends of mine and readers. It's really good to talk about this stuff with people if you have someone to talk to. Like us. Jennifer,
if you want to hear my story, I have a video. It's on my YouTube channel.
Tell your story.
My social is on my website. Oh, my story's a bit long. I don't want to,
maybe for the next episode we'll get into your
story for sure.
So listeners, we kind of narrowed it down what I experience in relationships. I told her I see the best in people, and I know they're not necessarily at their best place or being their best self. And no one's their best self all the time. Otherwise, we'd be all the ascended masters. But in this case, Jennifer kind of narrowed it down to that I have like a codependency issue. And it's not this broad, but in general, and she's right, I do want I have wanted my lovers to be that best self I see. And I won't, I'll put, like I told her, I put the blinders on when they do display bad behavior. What I consider bad behavior, putting me down, disregarding my emotions, and ignoring me, you know, or lying, you know, things like that. I will just be like, well, because they apologize so well sometimes, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you believe because you want to, because you see the best in their best self would apologize, right? But this, it is a codependent kind of issue that I've had in relationships in the past. I've never been with someone who is an addict, like that, until like a really hardcore addict, let's put it that way. I have always been, I was a drinker when I was younger, a big time drinker. So I was more the person who the other person would be like taking care of until 2013 when I quit drinking very heavily. So, Jennifer has said, well, you had been in relationships before, another relationship more recently with someone who drank a lot. And I was like, yes. And that's where she kind of narrowed down the codependency. And in that relationship, you know, when you, I've been given that thought since you said that. And he did forget a lot of stuff. He didn't remember things a lot of the time, the promises. Because, you know, he was drinking when he made the promises, I think. And then when he was sober, he didn't always remember. So that, and I would let that go. I would, don't upset the water, you know, or I would,
right. That's a
or I would thing. Blow.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you, codependents don't want to, like you said, upset the apple cart. You want to maintain.
Yes. And I'm a Taurus.
The status quo.
And as a Taurus, we like that stability and everything to be nice and even and, and you know, so.
And, you know, that's usually learned in childhood when you have one or both alcoholic parents, because
I did have an alcoholic
parent. You learn as a child that when the alcoholic parent is drunk or asleep or, you know, just not in your vicinity, if you stay out of the way, stay quiet, the alcoholic parent will not get in your face. They will not explode. They will not be abusive to the other parent, whatever. So you learn to kind of make yourself small, make yourself invisible, be quiet, not upset the apple cart, because, you know, that's how you've learned to not upset the alcoholic parent. Absolutely. So that is what we call codependent behavior, is because your behavior is dependent on the other person's actions.
Exactly.
So that's learned in childhood, and then you just carry it with you as an adult.
And the thing is, I did have an alcoholic father, and he was never abusive, but he would be weird and funny. Not to my mom. Now, my mom, he would be very loving and just, and it drove her nuts, you know, because he wouldn't remember it. He didn't know what he was doing, you know, and I didn't want to upset my mom.
Not all alcoholics are abusive.
I kind of wanted to not upset my mom, because she would be, we'd get upset because dad was a happy drunk, you know. And she didn't, I was kind of like, I felt this way anyway, that I was the target of her misdirected anger at him sometimes. So I would not want to rock that boat either, you know.
So you're just learning how to cope as a child in this,
and just,
like,
stay
mysterious
out of the way.
mysterious adult dynamic. You're just trying to, like, stay out of.
Yes. Yes. And not be the, and sometimes it would be all be directed at me because they weren't dealing with each other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, or I was ignored, you know, because they were dealing with their stuff. Yeah. And, you know, for example, I was very depressed by the time I hit 12 or 13. I started getting very depressed and anxious and empath, and my empathy was so strong and I didn't know what that was. Talk about this on the podcast, listeners. And so I really thought everything was my fault. I really felt like, you know, not that my dad drank. I didn't think that was my fault. I just thought he loved to drink. But it was, I would say through like, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, I felt like I had to stay out of everything. And then I had, and I believed them when they told me things about myself that were the problem, not them. And then when I was around 11th, 12th grade into there, I started to see more what was really going on, but it still hurt and I still tiptoed.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready to get out of there.
When for sure. Yeah.
I actually ran for a sorority so I could leave earlier. I didn't stay in the sorority. Yeah.
Well, and you know, we learn how to cope to survive. It's like a big survival instinct, right? So you did the best you could with where you were at the time. And now you're trying to relearn how to love yourself in a better way.
Yeah. And so especially at 48, I'm turning 49 in what, 7 days? It's a long time to be that way and realizing it. And I realized it when I was with my second husband that I had the codependent issues. And I just kind of, I would think about it and I'd be like, nah, it's not worth dealing with. Or I try to work it out. And of course, it's not going to get worked out. He would not let it work out. Or it would work out for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then, I talk to people all the time who are like, well, I'm this age or that age or the other age. And I just wanted to tell people that, you know, I was 40 when I started doing this work.
Yeah.
So it's never too late.
It isn't ever too late.
Figure out your stuff and try to work on yourself and better yourself and learn how to love yourself, because it's never too late to fall in love and never too late to meet the right person. I see people who meet their right person when they're 70. And you know, maybe they could have figured it out sooner, but hey, at least they figured it out now. And, you know, now they have another good 20, 30 years to like live their life in happiness.
Yeah.
So it's never too late to kind of do this work and figure your stuff out. So don't worry about it if you're 50 years old and just going like, oh, now, you know, now I'm trying to figure out, you know, why I don't feel the way I should, or why I'm unhappy in my relationship, or why am I keep dating the wrong person, or whatever it is. It's not too late.
So, my advice for you, Jennifer, now listeners, I have a new boyfriend and I adore him. Of course, it's 2 months now and, you know, 2 month mark, everything's great. Right. So Jennifer, the advice I really need is how do I continue to work on being aware of this tendency of mine to be attached to someone and what they're feeling is more important than what I'm feeling. Although I'm not like that as much now, but I do need advice about that going deeper into this relationship. This person is really special to me. I'm crazy about him. His name's Eric, listeners. You saw his podcast, maybe. And it's just grown and grown. Now he's a very positive thinker. It's very different than anyone I've dated before. He's very positive. He's very fun. He's a Leo sun. Sagittarius moon, Leo rising, Venus in Leo, Mars in Gemini. Mars is in Gemini and my Venus is in Gemini. So that's a really good fit. So, anyway, the advice is how do I move forward with this relationship without getting that way again and seeing the truth and being able to address it without, well, with this person, I feel like I can address things without him making it my fault, which is kind of a past thing that would go on with me and my exes. I don't think he would do that though, but you never know. It's 2 months in, right? So how can I? Yeah.
So going back to the stages of relationships, so you're 2 months in. So the dating expert, Matthew Hussey, says there's 4 stages of relationships. So there's admiration, where you just kind of like look at this person from afar and they're, oh, they're cute. You know, I'm going to go talk to them. And then there's attraction and chemistry, where you like both think you're attractive and you start dating, right? Then there's a commitment stage where you're in right now. Like you're dating, it's serious.
You've made the commitment.
You've made the commitment to each other. And then the fourth stage is compatibility, where you're both, you know, have decided that, you know, we're right for each other and we make a good team together. So that's kind of where you're at, or you're going to be, is that you've decided
we are committed and we care very deeply for each other.
Right. So now you're going to decide if you're compatible, which is different than commitment.
Yes, you're right.
So you have to decide, like, do you have compatible lifestyles? Like,
yes.
Do you guys stay up all night or do you wake up really early in the morning? Like, there's 2 different things. People like Some people are night owls. Some people are morning people. Can you get the things that you need from each other? Like, some people really need to hear the other person say, your hair is so beautiful and you look really good today. And other people don't need to hear those things. They just need to know that, you know, you're going to hold my hand when we're walking down the street. And that's how I know that you care about me. You're not embarrassed to see me in public, be seen in public and stuff like that. So it's just, what do you need? And can you get that from the other person? Is it verbal? Is it physical? Is it, you know, I need this person to pick me up from the airport. It's super important to me.
Yeah. Those kinds practical of things. Relationship for some people things. Is really most important.
Can you
thing?
Get what you need? Right.
Right. So first of all, then, I have to figure out what I need, maybe, you know?
Yeah. Ooh. And then pay attention to the things that keep happening over and over and over. Like, you know, oh, wow. He always forgets to get the things that I ask for from the grocery store. That's super annoying. he's always leaving his socks in the bathroom. That is super annoying. I really can't stand that. And are these things that you can live with, like the socks on the floor? Okay, I'll just pick them up and throw them in the hamper. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. Or does it really bother you and get under your skin? Because some people cannot stand to live with a slob and it bothers them. Yeah. Me, myself, I am the slob. So like my boyfriend just has to put up with it. But he's the neat one. I'm the messy one. So he's decided to live with it, and that's fine for him.
That's great.
You know, it's just, you have to decide, like, are these little things going to be big things? Or, and it's, for some people, it's like, oh, I just discovered, you know, he's a smoker. I don't know if I can live with that. You know?
Right.
Or I just found out that they smoke pot, like, occasionally. If it's occasional, maybe it doesn't bother me so much. Or if he's just going to do it when we go to a concert, not a big deal. Or
if it's something you don't like.
If it's a huge deal breaker, maybe I can't deal with that. So you have to decide, are these little things or big things, and can you deal with it or not? And then really what really matters is like your core values, right?
Right.
Like you know, you're a very spiritual person.
Very.
And probably most of the people listening to this podcast are very spiritual people. And so you need to have someone who very much respects your spiritual gifts, your spiritual beliefs, doesn't belittle that. They don't have to believe in everything you believe in, but they actually have to respect that you believe what you believe.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe they don't read the tarot, but, you know, they have to respect the fact that you do and you believe in it. Maybe they don't want a tarot reading, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend doesn't have to get a tarot reading. But he has to respect the fact that you do that for your job.
Oh, he loves the tarot readings.
Okay, well, that's fine too.
he wanted a Thoth deck like right away after I gave him a Rider Waite. He's like, I want the Thoth. I love. He likes Aleister Crowley stories, you know. So okay, I got him one.
Well, it's just, you know, some people are not that evolved yet, and
I know, so I got lucky.
So you just have, and maybe like, you know, crystals, like, you know, maybe sometimes.
Oh, he loves the crystals too. I got really lucky.
They don't understand. They don't know what it is. And you
but
know,
he did. He knows a lot of this stuff already. He's studied philosophy and English and music in college, and he's continued on his life. Like he has told me, and I've watched, we have kind of an unusual situation, listeners. He lives in Nashville and I live in Alabama. So, and Decatur, Alabama. So I drive up to see him. And who wants to come to Decatur to hang out? Nashville's awesome. I want to live there so bad. So there's some, he takes me places, we do all these things, but when I go I usually go on a Thursday or Friday and stay till Monday or Tuesday every other week. So it's kind of like we live together for a few days, you know, and then we have a few, like a week or week and a half apart. So that's really interesting to find out his daily habits right off the bat, you know. And I think they're wonderful and endearing, and, you know, but sometimes what if I get on his nerve? He is a clean person. He is very clean.
Okay.
I've tried it when I'm there. I try to help that, you know, but I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not really messy or I'm kind of cluttery, you know, but I have not found one single thing annoying about him yet. And I'm not annoyed by it. I'm not easily annoyed, though. I'm really not. It's when people are mean or cruel or close-minded that I start
to- and you pick up on those things, right? Are they mean to the server? you know, like right, and he imperious like, or demanding, then that's like very much
right. Or with animals, just like correct, stuff, you know, stuff like that. And yeah. Instead, him with this man, he's always like,
are they nice to kids? Even if you want to have kids or not, like if someone's mean to a child, I'm like,
oh, that's a big it's a big no-no. Yeah,
yeah.
And you have to kind of define what mean is too, because some people are very tricky and manipulative with how they are handling you. We'll put it that way, handling other people. Because mean can be like, you know, you should grow up to be a doctor and stop all that spiritual stuff, you know, to a little 4-year-old who's meditating or something. I don't know. That's just for example. Or, you know, to someone, mean could be saying, you know, I like you in blue, but I like you better in red or something.
It gets super under my skin if someone is condescending to women.
That's what I was just saying, the condescending kind of thing. Yeah, I hate that condescending to women. Yeah. It's all over Alabama.
Like, oh, don't worry your pretty little head, sweetheart. I'm like, honey. What did you just say to me?
Yeah. Honey pie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't you worry, honey pie. I got you. I got you. No, you don't.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I don't get like offended if the waitress calls me honey. I mean, because they just do that in the South. But like
the female.
Yeah.
The female is different.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But like if some man is like talking down to me, I'm like, excuse me.
Yes. I went to get tires, 2 new tires, used tires. On my car about 2 years ago with my son, stepson, Terry. And, I guess, you know, I look young and I guess he thought I was dumb. We were dumb kids. And he was going to charge me $800 for 2 tires and a tire rotation. And I just looked at, and he was being, yeah, sweetie, honey, I'll help you out. And I was just like, you know, it's just because they take advantage. And Terry didn't know. He really didn't. Cause he was younger than he was like 22 or something, and he's never done that. But I mean, I argued with the guy. I was like, he's like, we just want you safe. You know, that's the shittiest thing.
Yeah.
We just want you safe. No. Like, you know, it's just scaring you. We can't do that what you ask. We just need you safe, so we won't do it. And it's like, you're lying. I just went down the road, got some tires for $80, you know. So it's just dumb. And there are a lot of condescending to women, men. And it's like they're threatened by us ultimately, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't point that out, unfortunately. Or you can. Jennifer can. She probably will.
Yeah, I just don't have any time for that.
So definitely looking for the little things and repetitive things. I like that a lot. Notice what you can and cannot handle. What about the bigger things, like that maybe are subtle at first and then they start? The bigger things, for example, with my codependent tendencies, like, I need a reaction from someone sometimes, like a love. Yeah, I need love. I need love. I need a love, you know, and I don't. I can just give it to myself. Now, something we've talked about on the podcast a lot is love yourself, then love someone else. You can't love someone until you love yourself. And I kind of think it's like you can only love someone to the extent you love yourself.
Or right.
You know I'm saying, because I'm never going to completely love myself until I have ascended, you know. But maybe, I don't know, but it is a lifelong process of getting your note. You change. We all change so much. So I change. Do I love this now? Do I love what I'm changing into? You know, and I try to always look at that. But to the extent I love myself is a lot different than when I was with those other people. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really care for myself that much. And a lot of it had to do with the way they talked to me. And I believed them. And that's part of codependency. Mm-hmm. So, moving forward with Eric, let's say he does do something like that, that maybe brings out that feeling of, I need a reaction from him to you know, how do I phrase this? You see, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need a reaction out of him so that I can feel better about the bad behavior. Does that make sense?
Whose behavior?
The bad behavior from another person that I'm dating or I'm in love with. If I'm with someone, this is my example of not Eric, but with other people I've been with in the past. Let's say they had some kind of bad behavior. And usually with the kinds of people I've been with, it's very subtle, except for one, but it's very subtly done. Manipulating me, putting me in my place, you know, very subtly. And I'll be like, okay, because that's where I'm supposed to be. But I some part of me is like, this isn't nice. This isn't right. There is a part of my gut saying, I don't like this and I don't want to rock the boat, but I do need some kind of emotional reaction from this person because I'm codependent, basically. I need something from them if they're going to hurt me. If it's an apology or if it's a hug or if it's an I love you or whatever, it seems to make it go away. But that's not the truth. It's still there, right? That lingering thing in the air that might, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand?
So even if they said, I'm sorry, you would still feel.
No, once they said, I'm sorry, and I really felt like it was genuine, I'd be satisfied. But I might have a big reaction to something that's not that big, too. Because it only happens. I'm only triggered like that where I want this reaction when I feel like they've done me wrong, and they haven't always done me wrong. Sometimes it's just me thinking they have, and I haven't misunderstood the situation, but other times I have not misunderstood the situation and I am told I have, you know, because everybody sees a situation differently for one thing. And some people don't ever want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And some people can, they can really work on and talk out things. And some people can do both. And that's when it gets really confusing.
So from my perspective, where I feel like I've gone wrong sometimes is when I say something to someone and I'm expecting a certain reaction from them and I don't get it.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
But you can't go into an interaction with someone expecting them to do something.
Oh, I'm talking about like in the middle of it. Like, no expectations on other people. That's a terrible idea, you know, for them to do stuff for you, unless they said so, unless they promised, you know, that's different. But
yeah, well, having going into something and expecting some kind of emotional reaction from someone, you can't expect someone to
have
an emotion.
How can I work through that? How can I work through? Can you hear the lawn people out there?
No.
Okay. Ah, they drive me crazy. Weed whackers everywhere.
But, you know, love is very non-attached. So yes. Attachment is a fear-based love.
Yes, I agree.
So you have to be able to love someone without being attached to them.
And how can you give me advice to work towards that? Because that is what I do. I do get attached.
You have to remember that, you know, what's attractive about you to another person is that you're very stable and mature. You can self-regulate your own emotions and you know your self-worth. So you are an attractive, independent person all by yourself and you know you're worth loving. So if you're like confident in those things, you're not as attached to the outcome or the romance or the relationship or whatever that is.
Attached because, to an outcome.
Yeah. You know that even if that relationship ended tomorrow, you're still knowledgeable of your self-worth, you're self-regulated of your emotions, and you are stable and mature.
Yes. Yes.
You're an adult.
And tell yourself that. Yes.
Yeah. You tell yourself that. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not saying you can't have an emotion about it because you can, but your emotions are regulated to the point where you can have it and then let it go.
And deal with it yourself with me personally without needing that reaction from external boyfriend or lover. Mm-hmm. Or yes.
You could have your own emotion, but don't expect any emotion from someone else.
Expectations. Yeah, that's the big thing I have is I did in the past, especially when I was younger, I'd have expectations of them being the same as they were at 2 months.
Yeah, stuff like you can be disappointed, you know, if they don't react the way you want them to, but that's okay. You have your disappointment and then it's gone.
You let it go. You process it. You feel it. Mm-hmm. Think about it, what it means. And you integrate it and let out the other stuff, mm-hmm. the stuff you don't need anymore. I love that, Jennifer. That's really great advice. And I will use that moving forward into my wonderful new relationship.
But also like, remember what I said before, if this is a pattern, you know, and this person is constantly disappointing you, then you kind of have to like integrate that too. Like, this person is constantly disappointing me, realize that, like, is this something I can accept or not accept?
And what you said, I think, really nails me down is when you said, I feel lovable, or, you know, I feel I am deserving of love, or I am lovable.
Yes.
At the end there. Yeah. I don't feel that way about myself, you know, all the time. And I'm working on that for years now, just because I was told that, you know, in young years, and et cetera, you're not lovable unless you, et cetera. It was conditional love that I was taught younger. So I'm trying, and I've always been a very unconditional love person. You know, I don't really put conditions on the love, and that's probably why I'm a lot of the codependent tendencies, because I don't expect much from, except, you know, like fidelity, honesty, and I really need a best friend. I really need my guy to be a best friend, you know, a best friend in some way, like chatty. I love conversation. But I don't ever feel deserving of the love of the
people.
That's
the Venus in Gemini, right?
Yes, Venus and Gemini. I love that talky-talky. I love that talky-talky. And it's a turn-on. You know, it is. The intelligence talky-talky is a turn-on. And I do need that best friend feeling, you know, and I need freedom feeling, you know, that I can live my life. And I love that feeling. So I think you've given me some really great advice that I'm going to start working on. And I will update all of you listeners next week when we do this again. We're gonna do this every week, Jennifer.
Yes,
every week. We're gonna record one every Wednesday week. And we hope to goodness and goddesses and deities and God and angels, we hope to everything that you would love to write in, and you will write in with questions for Jennifer and me, and any if you have advice you want to offer listeners, we'll read that out too, if you've learned, if you
for
have
sure
a story you want to tell about your love life and how you found love yourself and then found the romantic love of your life, maybe, or one or two of them, three of them. The rest of them became the loves, and they were healthy loves, because that's really what I want, is a healthy love.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life for me, and in my life for them, and in our romantic life together, I want a happy, compatible, delicious romance. And, you know, that's what everybody kind of wants, their real love. So thank you for your advice. I really love it. And again, we want you to write in. And let me not forget, I would like to thank our sponsor, Everclear. Everclear is an advice app where you can get advice from psychics and empaths, so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. We are both advisors on Everclear, Jennifer L. or Jennifer Love. Yes. Jennifer L. And I'm Lisa P. So we can give you advice there too in private.
Yeah.
And I'll put our info in there in the description here. And again, your email address is Jennifer@TheJenniferLove2Ns. It'll be in the description. Mine is Lisa@WeAreAllPsychic.com. And I'll put that in the description. And we want to hear from you desperately. And we really just want to, because we want to know what your situations are so we can help more people and you find the love you want and love within you. And Jennifer, do you have anything lastly you'd like to add?
No, I think this was great. As Lisa said, we'd love to hear from you. So send your questions, email your questions. Nothing's off limits.
And if we don't hear from you, I'm sure I'll find something else to talk about and have. I've always had problems in love. So if you don't, well, I'm sure I'll have more questions for Jennifer in a week. Yeah. And I'm going to keep you up to date on this progress with the advice you've given me, Jennifer. I'm going to keep the listeners and you up to date with this, you know, really looking at the little things, looking at the patterns, looking at myself and trying to find, not find, but realize I am worthy of love. And that's something I'm working on. So thank you for that. And listeners, and we love you. Thank you so much for always listening. And Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody, you have a loving day. Peace out.
Bye.